The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey everybody, this is the final podcast taped during spring training. If you missed any of them, a pretty good group of guests, starting with Tyler Beede and including guys like Mike Morse, Jimmy Rollins, Matt Cain, Mac Williamson. A lot of guys came on during the spring, and I thought those guys told some pretty good stories, and especially the veterans. I thought heard some things from them that we don't necessarily hear a lot of. Today is also a guy who you're going to hear a lot of this year, Javier Lopez, former Giant, longtime Giant, three-time champion with the Giants, and now making that move that I think we all thought would be just an easy one for him. He's going to be on the pre- and post-game shows for us this year, which are going to be an hour, by the way, if you haven't heard. So those will be extended, and he's also going to do some broadcasts with Dwayne Kuiper. He's going to fill in a little bit for Mike Kruko, along with Jeremy Affeldt, who's going to do the same thing. So you're going to hear a lot of Javi starting today on the podcast. If you missed any of them during spring training, you can go back on iTunes. You can go on our website and stream those there. And as always, I will ask you, if you like the podcast, please subscribe so you have it right away. And leave a rating, too, if you like it. That always helps our case. Here for now, as we get going on the regular season, Javier Lopez. All right, I'm here now with TV's Javier Lopez, not the San Francisco Giants' Javier Lopez. I think we always had an idea that you would transition that way, just the way you dealt with us and the way you did Kane BR during Fan Fest. Was this something that you thought would be your next step?
Well, it's something I definitely was considering towards the end of my career, what I wanted to do and maybe give back, and I felt like being able to maybe give a different narrative than of the game that most people have grown accustomed to. Obviously, just being recently retired and knowing a good amount of the guys that are on this team still, I think it would be a different perspective that I'll be able to give. But I always enjoyed being able to talk the game, and down in the bullpen, you end up actually broadcasting more of a game than you think, just because you try to find different ways to pay attention to it. And that's one that always just kind of resonated with me, is able to try to sit there and tell some funny stories of what we would say if we were broadcasting a game.
What's the toughest challenge, do you think, for you? I know you know all these guys. I mean, if you're doing a broadcast, some of these kids you've helped mentor since they first got into camp. Is that going to be an adjustment if you have to maybe be negative or say more than you might want to?
Well, I do think, obviously, opinions are going to be what people want to listen to, and I'm gonna have to get used to being more of a critic of what's going on the field, but you know, ultimately I'm also going to be able to provide some insight as to reasons why certain things might be happening that might not look apparent the first time to the eye, and try to relay that the best I can. But it's going to be fun, and it's going to be an exciting time, and I'm looking forward to it, not only doing the few games that I'm going to be doing broadcasting, but continuing to actually learn from what Kruk and Kuiper do, because now I'll be able to actually listen to them work and how their team and their friendship works, and see if I can get in there and try to get some sort of I don't know about a repertoire, but I'm working on things that I'm trying to say or how to work it and how to phrase it, and because Kruko's a master at it.
Is there something? I mean, it's going to be two left-handed relievers who are joining this year. Not that it's a lefty thing, but as a reliever, it's been a while since, even though I enjoy the at-bats that you and Jeremy had over time, it's been a while since you've done all that other stuff. Is there anything you do to talk to guys about, you know, maybe the difficulty of hitting or things that you haven't experienced in a few years that you want to be able to portray on air?
No question. I think you do have to spend time doing a little bit of research, and so that's where I do try to bounce some things off of the guys that I'm very comfortable talking to in that clubhouse about certain things that they're looking for in a pitcher, and an opposing pitcher, and what they focus on in their at-bat, what starts their swing, Those little things that, again, I never really paid a whole lot of attention to, now are obviously coming to the forefront. So I do actually try to get their perspective, and I do a good job of trying to bounce around, not only with Buster or another catcher. I'll try to get an infielder's perspective. I'll try to get an outfielder's perspective, and try to piece all those things together and see how it goes. And but obviously, again, even the pitching stuff, I see things through a different lens than most people, but that doesn't mean that I can't learn from everybody. So I do try to get a little bit of, try to get 1% from everybody, and that'll make me, you know, however many percent better.
You've done a couple stints in camp here now as an instructor. At the second one, unfortunately, while you were here, they lost Will Smith. And, you know, people ask us, but I think for you, first of all, I mean, you're done, right? So this is, we can rule that out.
Yes, I'm retired. And you never want to see any pitcher go down with injury, especially Tommy John, and the way it's happened. And unfortunately, it seems to happen a little more often than not nowadays. But, you know, I wish Will a speedy recovery. I think everybody does. It's a big loss. There's no getting around that. But, you know, there's an opportunity now for some other guys to step up and do some things. And that's just the nature of the business, the way baseball works. I mean, Will was in the pen, and he had the job when he was healthy. So he was going to throw some big innings this year. But, unfortunately, they're going to have to wait one more year to get those big innings back. But it's just an opportunity for somebody else to step up. And I'm sure they're going to think about how they want to set up the bullpen. But, yes, I am officially retired.
Yeah. What do you think of the kids? You've seen all these guys, Steven, Ty, and Josh, come up. You've seen a lot of good from some of them, but also inexperience. What do you think those guys can do in trying to fill in, not just for Will, but also fill in for you now?
Well, I do think they need to be strike throwers, and I think they've shown that they've had that ability to be command the zone with not only just one pitch but a couple pitches. But there are going to be some growing pains, and I think everybody needs to be patient with that. And I know it's tough to ask for when you play games in San Francisco. There's always one-run games, it seems like, that we're playing up there. But there's a lot of guys with a lot of upside. Obviously, Ty is more of the starting type. He's got a four-pitch mix, that kind of thing, and Okert, Nosich have obviously, in their time in the big leagues, have shown that they can get anybody out in any situation. And those are the kind of things that you just try to feed their mental game and their confidence with those moments where, you know, you were here, you faced this guy in this situation, you got out of it. You got to just kind of keep patting these guys on the back and putting them in positions to succeed. And Boach has always been great at doing that with bullpens. So, again, it's an opportunity for all of them to get better. And I know they're excited for that opportunity and the challenge. And you've seen it this spring. And I know everybody's had a bad outing at least. But it's when you can shut that bad outing down and then come back out and put up a zero in your next outing. And, you know, I think all these guys are starting to do that. And it's fun to watch competition. And it's only going to get better here before they get to the Bay Series.
With Osich specifically, somebody who, had, you know, the first year we saw him was lights out at times. Last year, I know he struggled. I'm sure he's told me he came to you quite a bit. What do you think he needs to do to kind of get over that hump and find the consistency? Because we see I mean, 98 miles per hour from the left side. It's sinking. It's cutting.
I think he just needs to continue along that path. He kind of revamped the mechanics a little bit, and it's not an easy thing to do. It's much like when you hear about golfers trying to redo swings. I mean, you're asking for months and months of work to try to make changes. And he's done it, and he's done really well with it, and he's found his changeup again, and that was such an effective pitch for him. And I think, like anybody, it's obviously getting ahead in the count and throwing strike one, but it's just his ability to repeat his delivery. He fell out of rhythm a couple times last year. I do think that the knee getting fixed, now he had a bad knee last year, he finally got that fixed, and I do think that helped his confidence because he knows that his body's physically ready and capable of what it was a couple years ago, and you're seeing great outings out of him this year. And his power sinker. He has a power sinker going, and he's got the ability to dominate not only lefties but righties. And I think he's taken on the challenge this spring. And I think the future is bright for the whole bullpen, but in particular the lefties, because those are the guys I probably pay attention more than most.
Since that's Barry Bonds heckling us, did you ever face him without looking it up?
Yes, I did face him. He is 3-for-8 off me, all base hits. He tried to stretch a single into a double, got thrown out at second. And I've also punched him out 3 times, so I'm not afraid to talk a little smack.
It's amazing
to him too,
how you guys have the recall of, and I know it's Barry, but I mean, I asked other guys about just anybody. I mean, yeah. Matt Cain the other day is telling us Aaron Hill hit a double off me the first time he faced me in Double A. I never understand how you guys have that
Well, obviously Barry's he's a different animal in that regard. But yes, you tend to remember when you face one of the greatest of all time. So especially when he's your locker mate now
in the coach's room.
You know, I have to have any sort of ammo I can get. So at least I know he's a tremendous player and had a tremendous career. But at least I know I sent him walking three times.
Who is the toughest for you? The toughest, I mean, mostly lefties at the end, but maybe a guy that gave you trouble that we wouldn't think about.
You know, actually, a guy that probably was tough for me to get at was Alex Cora. I had a lot of trouble with a lot of more contact lefties than big power guys, because big power guys are trying to do one thing. They're trying to do damage, and those contact guys are actually a little bit harder to get out. And a lot of times he would be a little squibber down the left field line. He would never really pull the ball. He'd always just try to wait, and hit it the other way, and those are the guys that have been tough. And Adrian Gonzalez, when I first started facing him back when he was with the Padres, that was a tough at-bat. But now he's kind of changed his swing, trying to pull and do damage. But, those are probably the two that always stick out in my mind.
Gonzalez was one that you just go into a season knowing I'm going to face this guy like 12 times because it was just automatic.
Yes. The one thing about playing in the NL West for 7 years is that you, at least 7 years in a row, I'd been out here for over 10 on my career, but you know who you're going to face, and they know you, and you know there's no secrets at that point in time. It's just all about execution, and thankfully I was able to do it good more often than not.
So like you said, you are retired. You are with us now. You're going to be doing TV. You're going to be doing stuff for the Giants. I want to take you back just to the offseason quickly. When you're getting to that point, and obviously have shown us the last couple of years, you can still go out there, I think, if you wanted to this year and try to figure it out, and Jeremy was the same way, but what kind of decision-making process is it when you do decide that this is it for me?
Well, there's a couple phases for me in particular. I think I was thinking about knowing for sure that I wasn't going to be a San Francisco Giant again, and that was tough, but in another sense, this isn't my first team that I've been on, so I know how the business works. They have a lot of hard throwers, as they've shown this spring, and that's the way the baseball's trending in the bullpen, and I knew that the opportunity here wasn't going to be there, and I was okay with that. But there were some teams that I really wanted to go to and some places that I wanted to play, but ultimately those places started filling up pretty quickly with the relievers, and then the opportunities were available. I could have played. There were offers out there, but I didn't see myself in those uniforms, and if my heart's not in it, that's not a good way to go. And you know, I've never been a guy to just play for money. I want to play because I want to win, and especially in this stage of my life, being 39, turning 40 this year, that you know, I love helping out the younger guys, and I love doing those things. But I also like to win, and the clubs towards the end there that I was going to get some jobs were more probably in a mentoring kind of role, and I was just it wasn't in my heart to try to continue to do that. I wanted to try to get another ring and pour some champagne and. So now I'm trying other outlets to help out the Giants. Right now they've reached out, so that's why I'm here. And I'm trying to help out the younger talent here the best I can.
You were trying to stretch out that lead you had in career active rings from four to five.
Yeah, I was trying to get one for the thumb. I was going
get
for
one more.
For the thumb. And unfortunately, last year would have been the icing on the cake, but we didn't. It wasn't in the cards for us. But, I was going for one for the thumb, but that's okay. And, you know, what the, never been about the personal goals, but that's winning is a team thing when you do those things, and that's what I've always cared about.
It's a little weird coming in here as a coach and seeing, I mean, the core four was a huge part of three titles, and Sergio's across the valley now, Casillas over in Mesa. Was it weird walking in here the first time and seeing a whole new group?
It's obviously, it's a little bit different. It's but again, it just goes to show that's how the game works. It just you pick up, you move on, you think about the past real quick, but you got to move on. And I'm excited for what the Giants have going here. I mean, that's still a tremendous club. You know, you had a great closer now in Mark Melanson. You're bringing a lot of younger guys now in the pen, but again, there are a lot of guys with a lot of upside. And you know, as much as I love seeing Jeremy and Sergio and Casilla, it was just. We had a great time, and I know the more I get away from the game and the more I think about our past, I'll think about it was a tremendous 7 years that we spent together and did some amazing things. And you know, I hope the trend continues and this bullpen kind of picks up and they stick around together for a long time and continue to win world titles and stuff. But you know, that's the one thing that I'll be able to take away is that I was able to experience the highest of highs with the same three guys in the bullpen And that's just very rare to be able to do that. And I know that's something that we'll always have for the rest of our lives.
Well, Javi, I always appreciated the time you gave us as a reliever, and certainly those guys were good as well. And I always figured you were either going to end up working with me at Comcast or you were going to finally admit that you were some sort of FBI agent who was snowing us for 5 years.
Yeah, I can't say I'm going to divulge everything quite yet, but yeah, there's a couple pots on the stove still, so I'm keeping my eye on everybody, so to speak.
One of my favorite photos is at the White House, you standing behind him with the sunglasses and looking like Secret Service.
But I try to be the man of many faces, and that's one of them.
I appreciate the time, and we look forward to seeing you this year with us and on the broadcast. Thanks,
Javi. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.